Welcome to Scaling Wellness, the podcast that will give you all the tools you need to grow your wellness business and thrive in the online space. I'm your host, Caroline Kopp, Pilates teacher and health coach, turned business mentor for wellness experts, teachers and coaches just like you. This is the podcast where we uncover the strategies, stories and tools to help you to scale your wellness business, build impactful digital products and create the time, money and freedom that you crave. If you're ready to grow your online presence, make a bigger impact with your clients and in the wellness industry, and uncap your revenue, you are in the right place. Let's dive in. Hello there, welcome back to another episode of Scaling Wellness. I apologize in advance because I don't know if you can hear that, but my dog's in the room with me. As he's always in the room with me, but he is snoring so loudly. I'm hoping that my good microphone is not picking that up. So, I apologize in advance. If you hear the snoring, you know what it is. Okay, welcome back. Today we are going to be talking about delivery and how to sell your digital product. Now, there are so many of you listening to this, and you have a digital product and you've gone all in on the tech. You've got pretty good at finding the platforms, how to record, the microphones. Like you've gone quite far down the road on the creation of your digital product. And you've maybe even sold it. You've probably sold it to a few people already. So you've got it there. It's up and running. It's off the out of the blocks, off the mark. And now you're thinking, well, how on earth do I go on and keep selling this? Because it looks like everyone else is just talking about their products on Instagram and they sell, or they, you know, do a TikTok series and it sells, or they just leave them on their website and they sell. And what I can tell you for free is that is not what people are doing. It often looks like that, doesn't it? Like you can look at even the biggest businesses. Let's talk about Rolls-Royce or Rolex or Tiffany's, or, you know, some of the big, really expensive brands. It looks like people just come to them. People just turn up at their doorstep because they've got this historic, well-earned, big reputation. But what I can tell you is that even those businesses are running campaigns. They are in the background and they are running regular and thought out and well planned and well executed campaigns over and over and over and over again. So if the big businesses are doing it, then we should also be doing it. Putting something on your website and hoping it will sell is not enough. Putting a few Instagram posts out and hoping that they'll go viral is not enough. So we have to be running campaigns. We have to be creating a system that encourages people to move into action and to take action to start working with us. But how do we begin to do that? What does that process look like? And that is what we're going to go through today. We're going to look at your campaigns on about what this funnel looks like. What is a funnel? How do we create a funnel? How should our funnels look? And we're just going to talk through that today so that you get an idea after this session of, you know, how are you going to grow and scale the product that you have spent so much time and energy and effort building beyond your audience. So what I would say to caveat all of this is that in most cases, there is a period of testing. In fact, in all cases, there's a period of testing. In all businesses, there's testing. And so you need to be aware that if you want to grow your digital product, you are going to have to put on your scientist hat and you're going to have to learn as you go. You're going to have to listen to the outcomes, listen to the numbers, figure out what's working, what's not working as you go. So it's not enough to just say, I'm going to do the work and that'll do it. It's not that. It's more that we are going to start building the strategy and then we're going to tweak the strategy according to what the data tells us. So what I would say is that whatever decision you make around how you're going to build your product or grow your product, you need to give it some time. I like to think of one offer. So if you're choosing one of your offers, maybe you've got a few different courses. I'd like you to decide on one that you are going to grow And you're going to assign to that one niche, so one customer avatar and one promise. Okay, so this is the rule of one. This is your fastest route to growth. One offer, one avatar. And then you're going to build what we call a funnel. So one funnel. And you're going to do that. And I like to say for 1 year. It could be 6 months. But ideally, we want to be testing and testing and testing for about a year. So this isn't a fast route. I'm not always going to be giving you the fastest route. I'm going to give you the route that is most effective. But within that year, you are going to get results. So it's not like you're going to keep doing all this stuff and you're not going to get any benefit from it for a year. It's just that I don't want you pivoting or quitting for a year. So how do we do that? What does our funnel look like? So to start with, you need a really great offer. You need to have something that works. You need a membership or a course or a program, something that you have already trialed. You've already tested it on your audience. You know it works. You know people like it. You know people get good outcomes. And it works. And in order for it to work, we need to know a few things about it. We need it to have a very clear promise. You will have probably listened to last week's episode, which is all about a promise. You need it to have a promise, guys. We need to let people know what it is that they can expect from your product. We need to have a very clear customer persona or customer avatar. So we need to know who it is for, who's the audience this is designed for. You can also identify who it's not for. That's really useful. So who does this not work for? I would love to see some kind of framework or methodology in there. So if you are to think of things like Lean in 15 or Wim Hof method or Marie Kondo method, all of these things have elevated the designer to a higher level. So, you know, Joe Wicks is a PT, right? But he's got the Lean in 15 method. Wim Hof, I actually don't know what he does other than breathwork, but let's just say he's a breathwork guy. You know, I know lots of breathwork people, but he has been elevated because he has a methodology. So I would love for your offer to have some kind of framework in there that it takes people through, you know, a process that we've named, that we've labeled, we've come up with a name for it that we're going to start using, we're going to start speaking about. And I'd love for your offer, this great offer, to have some kind of social proof or some testimonials attached to it so that you can say, this is how it worked for this person. This is what it did for Jenny when she did it. This was Jenny's experience. This was Mike's experience. This is how where he started and where he is now. So we want some social proof so that people believe on a different level that you can deliver what you say you are delivering. And those are the main things that are going to build and create your, build and grow your compelling offer. So we need to have a great offer to start this off. That is number one. Okay. So if you don't have those things yet, then I would go away and just pull those together. A strong promise, a really good audience, specific audience, and a framework and a methodology and some social proof from when you've already delivered this. Then we need to be looking at developing or growing a flow of leads. Now, there are two ways that you can start to bring in leads, two ways that you can market to people. You can look at people that are problem aware. So they are lying in bed at night, Googling, how do I lose weight? How do I stay consistent? How can I get rid of this headache? How can I build muscle? How can I eat better? How can I incorporate more fiber? These are people that know that they have a problem, they have a gap that they are looking to fill. They're looking for a solution. So these are people that we call problem aware people. So that's one type of person that we can go after. The second type of person is the solution aware person. Now, these are people that are Googling Pilates for strength, nutrition coaching for weight loss, strength coaching for osteoporosis. They are aware that they have a problem, but they are also a step ahead, and they are aware that they want a particular solution. So we need to make sure in our marketing that we are speaking to both of those people, ideally. Now, in order to do that, we really need to know our customer avatar, because what we don't want is a load of problem-aware people coming in, but they are not really sure what the solution is that they want. And so we have to do a huge amount of educating in order to move them from inquiry to sale. What we want is those people, absolutely, and we can nurture those people and they will grow to love us and trust us. But we also want the people that are directly looking for a solution. These are going to be your fast action people. They're going to be the ones that move from just discovering you to buying from you fast. They know what they're looking for. They know what they want. They're just looking for the best delivery, the person that speaks about it the best, the person whose face they like the look of the best, the person whose website looks nicest. So it's going to come down to you as a probably a personality. How quickly can they binge you? Can they go straight into your Instagram and find out everything they need to know? Do you have a podcast that they can binge for a day before they reach out? So these are people, they know they want a solution, but they're just looking for someone that they can really build trust in fast. They're solution aware. So they found you and then they need to binge you. So we need those leads to be coming into our world all the time, constantly, consistently, in order to be able to convert them into paying customers. Now, that flow of leads can come from a multitude of places, but it will not only come from your social media. So please don't rely on going viral. Please don't rely on posting 5 times a week in order to grow those leads. We need to be way more strategic than that. We need to be looking at collaborations, at partnerships, at free content, at your email list. We need to be finding ways for people to invest time with you and get to know you, how we can leap over that trust hurdle. So how can we team up with other people that they might trust? We need those leads coming in. And I like in my business to be getting about 100 leads a month, new leads. That works really well for me in terms of a conversion. I know that if I get about 100, I'm probably going to hit my goals each month. Less than that and I fall short, more than that and I'm probably a bit oversubscribed. So we need to figure out what leads you need in your business, how many, because if you don't know that, you don't know how much of this stuff you need to be doing. So you need to know how many leads is going to work for your business at your price point with the delivery system that you have. So if you're delivering your product 4 times a year, then that's going to be one type of lead flow. If you are open all the time and people can buy anytime on Evergreen, that's a different type of lead flow. So you need to know what your lead flow needs to look like in order to fill your product. Okay, so you need first two things, a great offer and a consistent and repeatable flow of leads. Okay, the third thing we need to be doing is we need to be nurturing our leads. And this again is as even though we are great wellness experts, this is often the bit where people get stuck because they get these people coming into their world and then they ignore them. They get them on their email list and people will say to me, oh, I haven't sent an email in a year. And it's like, oh, well, I don't suppose they're going to buy from you now. They might do, but it's unlikely. So we need to make sure that we have a really strong strategy behind the scenes of how we are going to nurture those people, how we are going to move them, help them to move from inquiry to purchaser. So the way we do that is by building connection. So we need to make sure that we are sharing stories, connecting with our audience, and that could be in our email list or on our social media. Wherever you have a list of people, you need to be connecting with them, starting conversations, asking for feedback, putting out polls, you know, finding ways to get them to engage with you. The next thing is to think about authority building. So look at how you can easily convey that you know what you're talking about and that you are able to help them. You are the best person for this. And so think about, you know, if you were self-proclaimed, I am the best at this outcome in the world, what would you need to be telling them or showing them or helping them to understand in order to convey that? That authority piece is really key for people to trust you and to believe that you are the best and potentially to pay a higher price to work with you than with someone who's comparable to you. So authority is really key. What else can you do? Have you written a book? Could you be going on stage and telling people? Have you got a podcast that you can share with people? Are you going on podcasts? Are you filming a video every week that you're going to share with your audience each week? Are you showing up with consistently strong content on social media that you are sharing with your email list? How can you build up that level of authority? And then we need to look at proof. Like, how can we prove that you're an authority in the space? So this, again, it comes down to your clients telling your story, you telling your client's story, sharing testimonials, sharing clips, sharing screenshots, sharing videos, wherever you can, referring back to the stories of the people that you've worked with and how you have improved their life. And that will also build trust. And we need to build trust in a few ways. Firstly, with that authority piece, with the educational stuff that we're sharing, with that ability to prove that we know what we're talking about. But also, trust comes from being consistent and being credible, I suppose. It comes from turning up and saying the same thing over and over again. People lose trust when you change your messaging. And often people say to me that they worry that they are being repetitive. Because from our perspective, it is repetitive. I've said this stuff on this podcast 50 times before. But from your perspective, you need to keep hearing it. And so for me to, in order to build trust with you, I need to repeat my message over and over and over. I need to be sharing with you consistently what you need to be doing, how you can build your digital products, and how I recommend you do it. And this is my authority piece. This is the piece that shares. This is how I would do it. This is what's worked for my clients. And the trust comes from me being very consistent with that. And then finally, nurturing your clients in a way that empowers them, not tears them down. So they're not doing anything wrong. They're not getting it, you know, completely wrong. You're sharing how you can help them to get better, how they can take what they're already doing and supersize it, supercharge it. So we're empowering people. We're showing them that they are capable of more. They can do better. They can be better. You're showing them that this person didn't expect that outcome either, but this is where they got to. So empowering them with stories, empowering them with facts, empowering them with speaking their language and really understanding who they are and what they're struggling with, really helping them to see what is possible for themselves. Okay, so that's all in your nurture. And then finally, we need a sales system. So if you imagine this is your funnel, you've got the great offer. You've got a flow of leads coming in at the top. You're nurturing those leads. Now, before they drop out of the bottom of that funnel and buy from you, we need to actually wrap this all up in some kind of sales campaign. So we need to be campaigning. Now, this is what the big businesses are always doing. In fact, it's what all businesses that grow are doing, is they are running consistent and regular campaigns to sell their stuff. But they are doing it in a way that is showcasing social proof, showcasing stories, telling and empowering their clients, telling them where they can get to. These are all regular campaigns, but they have a strategy behind the scenes that you're not seeing, whereby they are hyping people up, they're creating promotion, building interest, building excitement. Then they're running some kind of conversion event, be that in wellness, it might look like a challenge, it might look like a video series, it might look like a billboard campaign, it might look like a workshop. And then they are putting some urgency in place. Now, this is happening more and more, particularly in the I see it a lot in the wellness clothing space. You know, limited runs of clothing, limited amounts of sizes, scarcity around what you can get. They're building you up, they're teasing it, they're hyping you up, they're opening the doors, they're even doing wait lists, and then it's gone. So they are running those revs all the time, those campaigns all the time, and giving you a window of time in which you can buy, in which you can get that deal. And so your job is to be doing exactly that same thing. Now, some campaigns in the bigger space won't look like that. They won't have the sales window, the open, the close, the scarcity, the urgency. They will just do the hype, the promotion, maybe a conversion event of some sort, maybe some kind of short sales period where they're specifically driving sales, but doesn't always look the same. But what they are doing is very specifically running campaigns to particular products at particular times. And that's what we need to be doing as well in wellness. We need to be making sure that we are always speaking to our audience and encouraging them to take that next step. So hopefully from this, you've been able to take away those techniques for selling your product. The flow of leads, the nurture, the great product, obviously, above all and everything else, and that sales campaign period, building up the hype, delivering something for free that helps people to see the value, and then making an offer. And in wellness, that's very specific. We need to be making offers that are compelling, that have time limits, that have scarcity, that have urgency. And even if you have a product that you want to be available on your website all the time, there are ways of adding scarcity and urgency in order to get people to, or encourage people to take action at particular times. Rather than just leaving it on your website and waiting for people to buy, we encourage people to take action so that we move people into a point where they have to make a decision. And for your clients, for your wellness clients, that's really compelling for them because you're helping them to make a change. You're helping them to take action, to get a result that they want. So we are absolutely running our businesses like businesses, for sure. We have sales targets, we have numbers, we have data, and we are bearing all of that in mind. But ultimately, we are doing that in service of the end user. Because if they don't take action, they stay where they are. They stay stuck. So your job as a service provider is to get really good at this stuff so that you can help more people. Because I know that most of you came into this because you just want to help people. Well, the way that you can help people the best is by getting really good at selling them what they need. Okay, I'm going to leave that one there. There's a lot for you to download in that episode. I would re-listen to it with a pen and paper. Write down your funnel. Let me know what questions you have. I'd love to hear. As always, the links, Instagram, and my next workshop, links are available in the show notes. Feel free to come along to the next free workshop. They're running regularly. If you would like to come, the link is in the show notes. I'd love to see you there. And let me know what questions you have. Thanks, guys. I will see you next time. Thanks for tuning in to Scaling Wellness. If you found today's episode valuable, I'd love to hear from you. Connect with me over on Instagram at Caroline Kopp and drop me a DM and let me know what your biggest takeaway was. Or if you know a friend or colleague in wellness who would find this podcast useful, I'd love you to share this episode with them or maybe tag it in your socials. It might be just what they need to hear today as well. And finally, if you are enjoying the podcast, don't forget, please rate and review. It helps more wellness professionals like you to discover the show and ultimately allows us as a community to grow the wellness message and help more people. So until next time, remember, the problem you solve for your clients still exists. So keep sharing your wellness message.